Opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, welcome into the program today. You know, I hope you all enjoyed a safe Thanksgiving weekend. And today, we're reminding you that the winter and the holiday seasons are all happening now. And we have snow, and we have ice and icy rain, and we have loads of parties and celebrations and family get-togethers. And it is important, with all of that going on, to stay safe out on the road. So here to help us is Idaho State Police Sergeant Justin Scott. Justin is the team leader in charge of the day shift. He is a public information person for the DUI Task Force, and he was formerly in charge of the DUI Task Force here in North Idaho. And we're going to find out what that team is and what they do. But right now, we're going to take our first break, so stay safe. We'll be right back.
The Habitat for Humanity's very own ReStore in Sandpoint has been a long-time go-to source for new and used building supplies, furniture, appliances, electrical, plumbing, windows, doors, and so much more. Everything you need for all your home building and remodeling projects. Prices are 50% lower or more than most retail outlets. Stop by the ReStore in Sandpoint on Baldy Park Drive next to Miller's Country Store. Visit them at iphfh.org.
December 8th is downtown Sandpoint's annual Ladies Night Out. The party starts at Barrel 33 at 3 p.m. with raffle prizes. Start by getting your passports from participating businesses and enjoy shopping until 7 p.m. Two grand prize winners will win a $250 shopping spree and a pair of Boys to Men tickets at Northern Quest. See you this Friday in downtown Sandpoint for all your holiday needs. Go to Sandpoint Shopping District on Facebook or visit downtownsandpoint.com.
You know what? Let's throw a party this year for the big game.
Hey, we can invite our friends over and all take turns yelling at the TV during the game.
But first, we should get a new TV.
Yeah, like one of the top-rated brands, Samsung, LG, or Sony.
Okay, so I'll start shopping on the internet, then head over to the Warehouse Club to compare.
But if that's all we do, we'll be sorry.
Why?
Because the best deals on those top-rated TVs are at Video Only, not online or at the club.
Video Only has better deals?
Yep. We could save up to $500 if we shop smart.
Then we could afford a larger model and really impress our friends.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or microwaves, but you will find the best deals on top-rated TVs, soundbars, and monitors. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
On Division, north of Francis, Video Only.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy.
The holidays are here. Go to OmahaSteaks.com and take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Shop carefully curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long. Plus, when you use code SIZZLE at checkout, get an extra $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, a gift that'll be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. That's OmahaSteaks.com, promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. Join me, say hello, and a big welcome to Sergeant Justin Scotch with the Idaho State Police. Justin, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Barbara. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. You were the team leader for the DUI Task Force, and you still assist them from time to time, I'm sure. Tell our audience what that task force is all about.
So the North Idaho DUI Task Force is comprised of agencies from throughout the North Idaho region, so basically the five northern counties, and specialized officers, deputies, troopers from those departments come together for specific emphasis patrols, usually around holidays or major local events such as the Moye Mud Bogs or any kind of concert that they think there's going to be a lot of people that might be drinking and driving. Those agencies get together, they collaborate, and they go out and they put on that emphasis patrol and really try to put a stop to impaired drinking, drug use, and then driving a vehicle.
This is a big group. I was just reading. I didn't realize how many law enforcement agencies. There are 15 agencies involved, police departments, sheriff departments. I mean, they are on it.
Yes, it has grown. It started in 2019, and over the years, we've just more agencies started coming on and up to 15 now. So
all right.
It's a big team.
We just had a holiday weekend, Thanksgiving. I'm assuming you and the DUI Task Force team members were out with their emphasis patrols. First of all, tell our audience what an emphasis patrol is.
So typically on an emphasis patrol, I can use Halloween, for example. So they'll pick the days. I think Halloween this year might have been on a Monday. Don't quote me on that. But because of that holiday falling on a weekday, obviously the Halloween parties are going to be more geared towards Friday night, Saturday night. So they did a Halloween emphasis where all of those local agencies came together and they're out just looking for impaired drivers. And over the holiday or Halloween weekend, just the North Idaho DUI Task Force found 12 impaired drivers. Now that doesn't include all the other officers from other departments out there working as well. But just for that dedicated patrol, there were 12 DUI arrests on those two nights.
That's amazing. I mean, for Halloween, I mean, I would think more Memorial Weekend, 4th of July, and where we are now in the calendar. You use the term impaired driver. Help us understand all that that encompasses. I think most people just think drunk driving, but
sure,
it's more than that, isn't it?
It is. So obviously alcohol, mixing that and getting behind the wheel can be a serious problem. But also people need to be aware that any kind of drug use, and that includes prescription drugs or even legal medications, can cause an issue depending on that prescription medication or what it is. And getting behind the wheel, it can be fatal.
So people need to be aware. I really like that you mentioned legal drugs. People need to be aware because you can be lightheaded from legal drugs. You need to watch your meds.
Sure.
And, of course, illegal drugs and alcohol, that's a given.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, especially living so close to the Washington border, now that marijuana is legal over there, we'll see a number of people coming over after using marijuana legally over there, and they could be under the influence.
How disappointed was law enforcement in Washington when the legalization of marijuana happened, or were they thinking, well, you know, it is what it is?
From what I've seen, it looks like the number of impaired driving cases went up because of the legality of it, but you know, I don't know. I haven't talked to officers over there, but I know for us, we have seen a large number of marijuana-related DUI, either arrest or crashes or whatever it is.
I know this is an opinion show, and you're not here to give an opinion. You're here to give us just the facts, ma'am. But it does astound me that we would legalize marijuana and that they think that it's okay to do that. So I'll just leave that right there. Talk to our audience now. I think that some of the statistics are really interesting, both statewide for Idaho in impaired driving and fatalities and injuries, and then compare that with the North Idaho statistics for us. So.
Right. So yeah, I did some research when I knew I was coming back on the show. So in 2022, for the state, the whole state of Idaho, there were 215 fatality crashes throughout the entire state. And 19 of those happened here in District 1, which is the five northern counties. District 1, that's a term that comes from the Idaho State Police, but our District 1 office basically works within those five northern counties. So 19 of those fatals were in our area, at least for Idaho State Police. And then in 2023, so this year, so far, unfortunately, the fatality numbers for the state are higher than last year. So far, or since October 26, we've had 222 fatals. However, for the District 1 area, the five northern counties that ISP has investigated, we've investigated nine. So we're half of what we had last year.
That's really good news, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's never good news that anybody dies behind the wheel of a car. However, the fact that those numbers are lower, I certainly attribute to, awareness and enforcement action. And hopefully with the DUI task force, that is part of the reason that those numbers are 50% lower.
That is excellent. Congratulations to all the team members and all of the task force for really emphasizing this.
Certainly work hard. So.
Yes, definitely. All hours of the day, 7/24. Yes. That's always what impresses me as those of us that, work during the day and
sure.
That's it. I was reading just this morning that there are three strategies, and I don't know if these have been ongoing for a while, but they are awareness, education, and enforcement. And this is the way the North Idaho Task Force is taking on this problem of impaired driving that leads to crashes, fatalities, and let's not forget serious injuries. I mean, just because you don't die, which is awful, but some people, I mean, the injuries can just be awful, lifetime
Absolutely.
Injuries.
Yeah.
So there's awareness. What does that encompass?
So obviously with the awareness, education, enforcement, the enforcement part, I want to start there because just us going out and working, that's taken care of, right? Now, obviously with these emphasis patrols and trying to hit a specific area, that is just part of it, going out and doing our jobs and trying to locate those impaired drivers. But I would say the harder part really is the awareness and the education. And the awareness, how we do that is, we hold events at the local fair. Past couple of years in a row, we were at the Kootenai County Fair. And it's kind of a nice event because obviously people, they're intimidated by police. It's nice that we can be there, put up a tent, and get to meet people and just interact with them. But also we do something pretty cool. The fact that it's the local fair and the rodeo, people are typically drinking, and we allow them to come over and do a breath test with our LifeLock breath testing instrument. And it's really cool because people get to see what the alcohol does to their body, what kind of impairment they may see, and gets to show them whether they're safe or not to drive a vehicle. And then the education portion of it, we really try to get into the schools, typically senior year students. We will do like a mock fatality crash where we'll bring in Life Flight and medical personnel and police, and we'll stage a scene with an actual car that's been crashed before, and a tow company will drop that car at the school, and we'll do a full mock fatality crash scene so they can see what it is like to have to be on scene of one of those horrific events.
Yeah. You don't actually see something for yourself. Whatever it is, but certainly something that's horrifying. It doesn't really, get into your brain until you see mock blood and injured bodies and the truth of someone dying. This may be a difficult question. It's one that a statistic I didn't tell you about ahead of time, but what is the average age of your typical, I'm going to say repeat offender, or at least a DUI offender?
I don't know if I could give you an age I don't think I could give you an age because it really varies. There might be a specific age out there done through a study, but I've seen a wide array of ages and
from
arrest or people
to
that
the
I've
old.
Met. Yeah.
The
really
reason
doesn't...
I was asking is I was thinking with all these emphasis and working in the schools. I mean, when I was coming through school, I don't even think we had or used seatbelts.
Sure.
Much less talk about DUIs, but that was a long time ago. So I'm just wondering if we're making headway into the younger generation to really bring it into their head. Don't drink and drive. Get a designated driver. Let somebody be the driver, and then the rest of you can have a little bit of fun.
Right. I mean, I can tell you from my experience, just in the cases that I've investigated, the bar scene, if I'm working downtown Coeur d'Alene, a majority of the people that I encountered that were under the influence behind the wheel were typically of the younger crowd, the downtown bar scene, but also working in the outlying areas, the bars, out in the country, if you will, usually a little bit older. So it just kind of depends on the scene, but I couldn't put a number to this age versus this age of arrests I've made throughout my
career.
That
is really interesting. I don't know why that halfway surprises me. The other thing I'm wondering is if there is a vehicle and you are suspecting a DUI driver, I don't know what you're looking at, what you're seeing, but walk us through a typical, if there is such a thing, as a typical DUI stop and a breathalyzer. What happens?
Right. So obviously, you know, I might see some sort of action done by the driver of the vehicle. So they might fail to stop at a stop sign, roll through a stop sign. Fail to signal is a big one, just failing to use a turn signal at all. We also have, a lot of the time, we'll see people just forget to turn their headlights on, which is interesting because most newer cars have automatic lights. But I've seen it. I've actually walked up and said, hey, your lights aren't on. And why don't you turn the dial over there? And they'll turn the dial and the lights will come on.
Turn it to automatic.
Yeah, we'll all have a little laugh and then go from there. But, you know, it really varies. A lot of the times we'll see the car just weaving within its lane or leaving its lane of travel. That's a big indicator that there could be possible impairment with the driver. So we'll make the traffic stop if there's a violation of law or if we suspect that they might be impaired. We'll make that traffic stop. We'll contact the driver. And it kind of goes from there. We'll see certain things that the driver might exhibit, the fact that they might have glassy or bloodshot eyes. You might have an odor in the vehicle, whether that's alcohol or maybe a drug, maybe slurred speech, could be dexterity issues. You ask them to grab a document such as a license, registration, insurance, whatever that we're requiring for that stop, and they might have trouble fumbling through the documents. So these are all things that kind of grow that investigation to the point where we think, okay, we need to have this person step out of the vehicle for us to further our investigation to see if they are truly impaired. So if we get to that point and we reach that point where we need to do standardized field sobriety tests, we'll have them get out of the car and then we'll conduct the test or have them conduct them. And then usually there's a arrest or don't arrest decision at that point. If they are placed under arrest, they'll typically be put in the back of our car. Then we have to read them a form, which is called the Administrative License Suspension Form. It talks about the kind of license suspension they could find themselves having if they are in fact over the legal limit. And then after a 15-minute observation and deprivation period, so we observe them for 15 minutes and also make sure that they are deprived of any alcohol in that 15 minutes.
Like they might have something on them that they might want to drink out of.
There are certainly, I can tell you that.
Out of nervousness or
need. Well, you never know what people will
whatever.
Hide in certain areas, but we have found that people will carry different items on their person that we might not find during a search. But we actually have to make sure that we monitor them, wait that 15-minute period, and then obtain a breath sample.
Yeah.
And then if they are over the legal limit, typically they'll be brought to the local county jail and booked in.
I forget the phrase you use, but just like beyond a breathalyzer, what might be some tests that you do? Do you, you know, make them walk that line toe-to-toe still or
yes.
count something backwards? Or what are some of the tests you might use?
So I'm sure everybody's, you know, seen, I think it was Reno 911 or any of those shows, but we do not have anybody do the alphabet backwards. Honestly, I couldn't do that. But the three, so there's a standard.
Unless you could just start with Z.
Yeah,
if you could start
right.
with Z, that might be.
Maybe
I know.
If I have it written down in front of me. But we do have a standard battery of tests. So they're the standardized field sobriety tests.
So they're not all breathalyzer tests.
No. So that's at the end. So we are not a preliminary breath testing state. I think Washington is. It's a PBT. So I can't walk up to a car, suspect them of being, we'll just use alcohol for an example. I can't suspect them of being drunk and then just have them blow through my breath testing instrument. I have to actually have probable cause to receive that breath test. So they'll do horizontal gaze nystagmus, which everybody has probably seen on TV, you know, where I'll put my finger in front of their eye. Yeah. So I'm looking for nystagmus, which is the involuntary jerking of the eyes. So I'll have them do that test. I'll have them do the walk and turn test and then the one leg stand. So those are the standardized
Lord have mercy, I can't do a one leg stand sometimes.
Well, I've done it enough. I could probably do it with my eyes closed. But then we also have other tests that we could do, especially if we suspect there's drug impairment.
Yeah.
We could do an alphabet counting test.
Who is presented with the breathalyzer, can they say, no, I won't take the breathalyzer for you? What happens if, do they have the right to say no? And what happens?
So they certainly can say no. However, I told you about that form, the administrative license suspension form. So if a person refuses to take either a blood, breath, or urine test, their license could be suspended for upwards of a year. So if they do take the test and they are found under the influence over the legal limit or maybe a drug DUI charge, they would lose their license typically for 90 days, and then they could get a kind of like a 30-day permit after the first 30 days for them to get to work, school, or an alcohol treatment program. But that first 30 days is absolute. But if they if they fail to provide a test, it's 1 year.
It's 1 year with suspension. with no recourse.
Yeah, there's no like work permit or anything like that I know of. It's all just 1 year.
You know, we talked about this before we went on the air, and so this is Barbara's opinion. This is not Sergeant Justin's. He's not commenting on this, but I think the hammer needs to fall hard, especially for repeat offenders. If this is their second DUI, I think it needs to be boom. Automatic suspension, and I think a pretty healthy fine, too. And if it's the third, I don't know. You know, I think they need to go to Washington and live. You know, we can export them or something. Lock them up. Yeah. Anyway, all right, everybody. We are up against our next break. We're going to take that right now. We have a lot more good information coming from you from Sergeant Justin Scotch with the Idaho State Police.
Best Western Plus Ponderay Mountain Lodge. Enjoy spacious guest rooms with free Wi-Fi. It's dog-friendly, but call early. Rooms are limited. Best Western Plus offers free breakfast, has a conference room for meetings, and you can relax in the indoor pool and hot tub. It's the closest hotel to Schweitzer Mountain Resort, located next to Sweet Lou's, where you can walk to dine. Call today and book your reservation at the Best Western Plus Ponderay Mountain Lodge.
Hello, this is Scott
and Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old powerhouse building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us, 208-265-6406.
Congratulations. If you're receiving this message, you are incredibly lucky. For the McRib has decided to grace your McDonald's with its presence once again. Because everyone deserves to experience one before it's gone.
But don't brag too much. A lot of the other places aren't as lucky. The McRib is back.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
We all know there are morning people and not so morning people. But now that McDonald's has bagels, the morning people demographic might just have to make room for some new members of the club. Talk about a game changer.
There's no better way to wake up. Try McDonald's hearty steak, egg, and cheese bagel with a juicy steak patty and grilled onions, fluffy eggs, and melty cheese. Or try one with smoky bacon or savory sausage at participating McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get four lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, I mean loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get four lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
So you want somewhere to play, we got you. A nice, relaxing stay, we got you. Want to be entertained, we got you. Want to play golf all day, we got you.
Go to Lake Casino, winning is just the beginning.
So you're looking for something to do, we got you. Want some tasty food, we got you. Heard you want to do some shopping, we got you. The live music is always popping at the
Go to Lake Casino. At the Go to Lake Casino. Go to Lake Casino, winning is just the beginning.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We are talking with Idaho State Police Trooper Sergeant Justin Scotch. Yay, he is here helping us out, helping us stay safe with all of his colleagues. And on the break, we were talking about their other reasons that we have these traffic crashes in our area. Tell us about some of those reasons beyond driving impaired.
Sure. So obviously we talked about the impairment, but a lot of the things that we see, especially here at Idaho State Police with the crashes that we investigate, is we see a lot of high speeds and aggressive driving, weaving quickly throughout traffic, causing some of these crashes and these issues. A lot of the day-to-day crashes I'm seeing, especially two-vehicle crashes, are they stem from following too close. So basically the person's either right on the back bumper of that vehicle and they can't anticipate the front vehicle hitting the brakes, or a deer. I mean, this is North Idaho, deer, elk, and moose all over the place. Mm-hmm. So an animal jumps out, first car hits the brakes, second car is too close, they can't stop in time, and then there we are. So we see that a lot of the time, and we talked about our fatality statistics throughout the year and the past couple of years. One of the things that I've noticed a lot is people don't wear their seatbelts. And I truly feel, just from the evidence on scene, that if people would wear their seatbelts, it could help a lot of the time with people getting ejected from the vehicle.
I don't know what is going on with me, but I find that almost impossible to understand or believe. Right. When the statistics are so clear, right, it will save your life.
Yeah, well, it's pretty amazing, too, to really
It drive. Could save your life.
Yeah, I mean, it could. And, yeah, and to drive the point home, I just remembered this. When I was going through the academy 11 years ago, obviously we drive Dodge Chargers with a Hemi, so it's a V8, it's a fast car, it handles like a race car. And we're going around the track in Meridian and driving at a high speed, just trying to get used to the car. And they said, okay, do this entire lap with your seatbelt on. We did. And then they said, okay, take your seatbelt off and do the entire lap the same.
And you're just like,
you're flying all over the car. You're having to push your knee into the door to really get that good pressure and keep you seated. So it's amazing, even normal driving, keeping you planted so you can actually control the vehicle, a seatbelt is very important.
It is. Yes, for to really control the car and for you not to be thrown around and during an accident. And if you care anything about your passengers, belt them up. I love it that cars beep at you, the new cars beep at you if you don't have your seatbelt. So speed, aggression, following too close. You know what that tells me? That is impatience.
See it a lot of the time.
They just can't get over it that somebody's in front of them, like, leave early, dude,
And surprisingly, it still happens in front of me in a fully marked patrol car, so.
I was also saying on the break that it seems to me here in Sandpoint, at least, that people are making these really dangerous left-hand turns in front of you. They just don't want to wait for traffic to pass. They're not in a turn lane. They just get impatient and they just go for it. And honestly, you have to brake to allow them to make that left-hand turn.
Yep. Failing to yield, basically.
Failing to yield.
You know, the T-bone crashes you'll see at intersections or, like you're saying, in that, that center turn lane.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So one of the reasons for traffic accidents, crashes, and fatalities is the weather. And we're in it now with winter weather, though. Really, any kind of foggy, late night weather can be bad. Let's talk about winter driving challenges. Talk to our audience about how to stay safe out here during the holiday winter season.
So, surprisingly, one of the things I see, especially in the first winter storm of the year, and it's usually every year, is the choice of tires. Either they have a summer tire or their tires are bald, and that always causes a majority of the issues that I see, at least on the crashes.
Like, can we all spill traction?
Yeah. I mean, I just put new tires in my patrol car. It's amazing. I mean, because they were used throughout the summer, so they needed to go, and I could totally feel a difference. Yeah. So it's amazing what good tread will do for you. Also, give yourself that extra following distance. Stay off the back bumper of that car in front of you. Leave a few minutes early. And then, there's another thing is speed too fast for conditions. We see that all the time. I saw it just yesterday as I was called out to a crash on I-90. Is vehicles are going too fast for the icy roads. Idaho Transportation Department does a great job of clearing our roads, but there's only so many of them to go out there. They can't hit every single spot all hours of the day. They have to hit all of the, how big is I-90? It's 74 miles long. So they only have so many trucks. So give them the time to do their job, slow down just a little bit, increase the following distance and have good tread, and that will certainly help you out.
I don't understand how many times people, you and radio shows and newspapers and, you know, studies say slow down in bad weather. Really, any time, slow down, be patient. But certainly in winter driving, slow down. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is to accelerate slowly. I was reading something about that, that accelerating slowly also maintains control in snow and ice.
It certainly does. You know, a lot of the newer cars obviously have really good traction stability, traction control. If I was able to drive a rear-wheel drive Dodge Charger for the first 3-4 years of my career, anybody can drive basically any car. You just have to have the good tires and take your time, you know.
Right.
I was able to make it over 2 mountain passes in North Idaho over 3 years with that rear-wheel drive car. So
what's the deal also with to avoid cruise control, that in the winter driving in particular, do not rely on cruise control? What's up with
that? That's been a thought for years, and it's true, especially with the older vehicles. You know, they're not able to adapt to the conditions. So let's say you're going down dry pavement, and all of a sudden there's a snow drift out on the prairie, starts pushing that snow against your car. On those older vehicles, they can't adapt to maybe like the hills or the various weather. I think I would assume the newer vehicles are a little bit better, you know, because I'll still run cruise control, you know, in like rainy conditions. But on the snow, I don't use it.
Yeah,
even
no.
In my brand new Dodge Charger,
I just
don't
want it. It doesn't matter all-wheel drive. It's not the issue of all-wheel drive. Right. It's the issue that you have put on cruise control. You
right.
are sitting there driving in cruise control in icy, snowy weather.
Well, think about it, too. With cruise control, your foot's not on the gas. It's not near the brake. It's just kind of chilling out in the open. And, you know, perception reaction time. So let's say it's dry roads, and then you come up to a snowbank in the middle of the highway. You have to perceive the issue, react to the issue, then turn off the cruise control or hit the brake.
Yeah.
So all that's extra time.
All that's got to happen in when that deer is jumping out
exactly.
at you.
Or you can just let off the gas if you're not using cruise control, and that
exactly.
will give you more time.
Immediately, yeah. One of the other things, and I don't know everything that would go in it, but what about these winter kits, things to have in your car during
idea.
The winter? What are
Absolutely.
Some of the things we need in there?
Well, you should definitely have warm clothing in your car.
Extra warm
clothing, hats, good boots, because you never know when you might have to trek a distance to get some help. You should have jumper cables. I'm a huge proponent of a jack and jack stands if you have to change a tire, because let's be honest, the jack that comes with any car these days is not a great tool.
Get a
good floor jack. I'm big on having either flares or some sort of lighted triangle or just a triangular device you can set on the road to warn the oncoming traffic.
Certainly a good flashlight.
Flashlight, food and water, maybe a couple MREs, bags of stuff that's going to last a while. So if it's there all winter and you don't use it, you can either replenish it
good.
For next year, or it's going to last a while.
You said extra clothing and boots, which I think is a good idea. If you get wet, you can change into something. But I was also reading, if you're out off the grid, so to speak, you need to let people know, you know, you and a couple of people, you're going out over here to see what's going on. And let's say you get stuck out there. At least somebody back here knows where you were heading. But it also said, stay with your vehicle. Don't leave your vehicle. Now, I'm sure circumstances dictate some of these decisions, but
absolutely. I think that would depend, like you said, circumstances, where you're at. If you're on a main highway or maybe out and far away, but still on a highway traveled, I would certainly wait with the car.
Yeah.
If you're out in the woods hunting, that might change some things.
Yeah.
Depending on if you know where you're at, if you know where the closest civilization is to find help.
Or how to get back to your car
right.
if you
That's
are
That's the biggest
hunting.
Thing.
That's the biggest thing. At least get back to your car.
Right. Because even if maybe the car's stuck, but you can still cycle the motor or the engine for an hour or two here and there to keep you warm.
Yeah.
Those are all factors of things you can do.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's important. I know people think it's like over the top, but to let people know where you're hunting or where you're going to go exploring, you're just going to do a little drive out in the woods and look at the snow and have fun. Somebody at home needs to know at least what quadrant you're heading
yeah,
for.
Yeah, certainly a good
you know,
idea.
What is the forest
yeah.
that you think you want to go explore yeah. because you just never know what's
Absolutely.
Going to happen, whether it's stuck in the snow or hit an animal or your car. your car has trouble,
yeah,
you know, whatever. So the last thing I put on my list, and I'm going to say it again, is use your seatbelt. Use your seatbelt. How, absolutely, you know, when did this start? The 40s? I mean, yeah, 50s?
Probably, yeah.
When did we start with seatbelts? I mean, it's been like 80 years.
Yeah, and luckily the awareness of it has changed. Back years ago, it used to be people didn't think it was a big deal, but now people are starting to understand that it truly is helpful, because we've shown there's tests and there's evidence through crashes that it truly helps you stay in that vehicle.
It does. Getting thrown out of the vehicle in and of itself is not a good thing. Yeah. But yeah, no, it stabilizes you. All right. Well, we have got a lot more to talk about. We want to talk about the training that our ISP officers go through. There was just a graduating class that I saw a post from the Idaho State Police about that. So we want to give some kudos for that and also encourage anyone out there that may be thinking about a career in law enforcement to encourage you and to let you know what the time frame might be and what you have to do to accomplish that. So stay with us. We have more coming your way.
Ridge Transmission and Performance, formerly BF Quick Lube, has new owners and new services, offering transmission repair, manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment, 267-7481, or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ridge Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
Hit a three-pointer when you sign up with Ting Internet. Join Ting and you'll get a $200 service credit and free standard installation. Plus, we'll donate $50 to Sandpoint High School's athletic program. With Ting Fiber Internet, you can download, watch, play, work, stream, game, and video chat without buffering or lag, no matter how many people are online. To claim this offer and get internet as quick as the SHS Bulldogs on a fast break, visit tinginternet.com/bulldogs. That's tinginternet.com/bulldogs.
Merry Christmas from Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. Christmas silver is in stock now. Plus, they have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. There's also great gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else in our area. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Pend Oreille. Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Medicare Part A, Medicare Part B, Medicare Supplement. What does it all mean? Moda Health Plan, Inc. can solve the mystery. A Medicare Supplement plan covers you for some out-of-pocket costs and expenses not paid by Original Medicare. Plus, our Medicare Supplement plans are affordable and local. You also get access to health and wellness programs and gym memberships. Like to travel? You'll be covered wherever you go in the U.S. Need to see a specialist? Go ahead. You won't need a referral. Medicare Supplement doesn't have to be a mystery. Choose a better experience. Choose Moda Health Plan, Inc. Find out more about our Medicare Supplement plans at modamedicare.com. Provider must accept Medicare. This is a solicitation of insurance. A licensed agent may contact you. Not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. These additional services are not insurance, may not be available in all areas, and may be discontinued at any time.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
All right, everyone. We've got it going on here at 97.1 FM and 1450 AM and wherever you are at NorthIdahoRadio.com. We're talking today with Idaho State Police Trooper Sergeant Justin Scotch. He's a great guy. All of his colleagues are out there wanting to keep us safe. And we were talking on the break, Justin, and I'm just going to go right to it so we make sure we get it in. We have already talked about the emphasis patrols, and they're not secret, are they?
No. And that's what we talked about, kind of the key terms or the key words for the task force are awareness, education, and enforcement. I didn't really talk about it before, but the awareness part of it is nothing is secret about what we do. We put it out on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, it's probably out there. We're doing news articles with local press, so we want people to know we're out there. This is not a secret,
sting operation.
Yeah, it's not a drug sting operation. It's nothing like that. We put the magnets on our cars, or some of the vehicles actually are already outfitted with the logo of the task force, and we are out there. We want people to know that we're there. We want to be visible.
Because
as a deterrent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that awareness and that education slows people down, gets a designated driver in place when they know that those emphasis patrols are happening.
Especially in the days of Uber, too, where you can hopefully get an Uber ride 10 to 20 to maybe 30 bucks, depending on how far you are, or a DUI, which is going to cost you upwards of $1,000. Take the cheaper route and the safer route.
I want it to cost even more. That also brings to mind, I was reading something about a Decide to Ride initiative. What is that? Does that ring a bell for you?
If that's anything through Transportation Department, or Idaho Transportation Department, it might be their campaign, but basically decide to take a ride, ride sharing,
right.
Uber, whatever it is, rather than driving yourself
impaired.
While you're impaired.
Yeah. So decide to ride. I like that. All right. Let's talk about this new, how exciting this graduating class, new recruits, what are they called? Troopers.
New trooper. Yeah. So they are recruits in the academy. But graduating this Friday, we'll have 22 new troopers out on the road. And it's not just here in District 1, the five northern counties. It's throughout the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
Here in District 1, we have three of the troopers that will be starting their field training up here. They'll begin, I think, right after, maybe the day after Christmas, I believe, they start their field training. So we'll give them a little time off. But they had an extensive 22-week academy, and we are a paramilitary organization. So we do have what I like to refer to as like a stress academy. And the first couple weeks are much like a boot camp, and then it kind of changes.
People
it,
out
it
a
does.
Little bit.
And then it changes more to an academic style academy, but there's still some stress in there because we want to prepare them for the stresses of law enforcement and the issues they might see out there on the road, especially because as troopers, we work these counties a lot of the time alone, and our closest backup could be 10, 15, 20, maybe an hour away. So we definitely go through some rigorous training to prepare us to be state troopers.
So how does a person apply for and get accepted into the academy to try to be a trooper?
Okay, so I just found out yesterday that we're looking to have an academy start July 8th, which would mean that we'll likely open that hiring process probably after the first of the year. The best advice I can give is go to our website. It's isp.idaho.gov. There's a tab for human resources. If you click on that, you can go down that page, and there is actually a link for notification for hiring, and that's for state trooper. So that will notify you when the hiring opens, and then you can go through the process. But also, we do have other jobs throughout the department that are open. We have administrative positions. We have dispatch positions. We have lab technician positions, all sorts of different jobs.
You have forensics,
your own
dispatchers group.
Yes, we have two different dispatch centers, one here in Coeur d'Alene and then one down in Meridian. I believe we have three labs where we have multiple lab technicians that do all sorts of lab work that's really interesting.
I am so glad you mentioned that because it is true when I think about it. I'm always thinking about you, all of the ones that are out on the roads and out taking care of crimes. And you have an investigative unit detectives that go work on murders and different things. And I'll just mention this because it astounded me the last time we chatted, is you have what is essentially the Secret Service type people that guard the governor guard, VIPs. I don't know who the VIPs are, but I guess visiting high up politicians that need extra protection along with their federal Secret Service. And all of that is under one of the divisions or the various divisions for the Idaho State Police.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
That's a beautiful thing about our department. You can hire on, you start as a trooper, but if you have other interests, investigations, commercial vehicle safety, executive protection, we have so many different avenues that you can promote into. We have canine units, drug teams, all these things are available if you come to work for us.
Yeah, I really like that that has come up during this conversation because I think most people think about the troopers because that's what we see.
Right.
There are so many other career opportunities. So the next academy, everybody goes through the academy no matter what your career goals
are. That's correct. So if you're a lateral officer, which means if you have a specifics, and I don't remember if it's, I believe it's 3 years with a prior department, you can hire on with us and you'll go through an abbreviated academy, which is approximately 11 weeks. And then you'll go out, start your field training, and then come back for a week at the end of the academy to graduate with your class.
So that's if you are already a serving or have served as a law enforcement officer.
If you're certified through post-academy, so that's Peace Officer Standards and Training, or if you're an out-of-state lateral officer, you can also challenge the test and get certified and just go through that abbreviated academy.
You know, speaking of certification, what kind of recertification, for example, do the troopers go through or anyone?
So we go through an in-service training typically every year, and that's either we'll, at least for the state troopers, we'll head down to Meridian, or sometimes the training section will come to each district, the six districts throughout the state, and they'll provide recurrent training. It could be taser training, legal updates, EVOC, which is our emergency vehicle operation course, firearms training, all sorts of stuff. So that's yearly. And then we also go through our own training at the district level where, you know, like I'm a firearms instructor. I train our troopers throughout the year on firearms. We do arrest and control techniques, all sorts of different training that we go through yearly to keep us up.
Do you do firearm training and safety for people, just citizens who would like to be more educated or get basic education on their firearms, rifles, hunting rifles, whatever?
So I personally don't do that. I've helped out, you know, people that I'm close to with certain kind of training.
But that would be a personal thing for
yeah,
you.
That'd be
not
a personal thing.
Not the
and be
ISP.
Like a, yeah, no, that'd be like a business venture. The agency that I know of doesn't do anything like that in
okay.
terms of put on training. Maybe something we can think about. But, you know, I'm a competitive shooter in my personal time. So I do shoot a lot with civilians and get to train with them and through them and share techniques and also learn from them.
But as an individual, you do that. I
yes.
guess I was thinking about the Bonner County Sheriff has a Marine division, and they do boating safety and boating things.
Yeah.
So it's like a full one-day training
sure.
for boaters. I think it's voluntary.
Yeah.
We don't have to do anything to get out on the water.
Yeah.
Except also stay sober.
Yeah. No, I think the firearms training would be a good idea. Obviously, there'd be some liability if we are doing some
yeah.
live fire training, but you know, doing some sort of one-day safety course where
yeah,
we just
safety
talk about
course.
Firearms use and safety. It's something
it
maybe we could think about.
It would necessarily have to be firing. Yeah.
Sure.
One thing that we just have about a minute or so to get to, and that is how has the population, this is a huge question, 1 minute answer, how's the population increase? Coeur d'Alene especially, but even here in Boundary County, in Bonner's Ferry and Sandpoint, we have more people living here and driving here. How's that affected you?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, that's probably one of the largest issues that's affecting our department is the fact that we are growing at a large rate in the state, and we just don't have enough troopers to handle that growth. I can tell you when I moved here 11 years ago, I was up here and living in the Coeur d'Alene area, and Rathdrum, I remember seeing the sign for the population was like somewhere around 4,000. They just put the new sign up at over 9,000 people in
yeah,
less than,
you
know, 10
double.
Years. So
yeah.
it's doubling, and think about every single town and city in the state. So we are growing exponentially. We just don't have enough troopers to handle all those issues. That's why we're always constantly trying to hire.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's another conversation for another time. I've certainly talked about that with people concerned about water and sewer and fire, our fire department coverage, our volunteer fire departments, our police, our sheriff, our ISP, all of these, and just the very safety of our roadways themselves. are impacted, and we can build houses fast, but to build a team of troopers that are certified and ready to go.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
That's another issue. All right, well, it is so good to talk with you. I thank you. May God keep you safe and all of your colleagues. God bless you guys out there, because when I'm in the ditch, which I don't plan to be in the ditch, Justin,
but sure.
If I do end up in the ditch, I'm calling at the ISP or Bonner County Sheriff or the police.
We will all respond.
Amen.
We will be there for you.
Amen. Thank you. All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us today. Come on back next week. We are going to talk with fitness professional Lana Fish. We're going to drill down on winter fitness issues. We're going to talk about fitness in general and food to eat before and after, but we're going to be talking about some really important tips about walking in the wintertime and staying hydrated in the wintertime. So until next week, this is Barbara saying take care of yourself and each other, and may God richly bless you, my friends.